Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Marlon Fannin. As was mentioned, my wife Nancy and I are from Cincinnati, Ohio, and we certainly enjoy the beautiful weather you have here a lot better than what we have back home right now. I guess I could say good afternoon, too, because where we live, it's afternoon already. So we're certainly happy to be here. We're certainly enjoying the many conferences that we're having and the many good things that's come from that. Well, what I'd like to speak to you about this morning, and it's something that we all have to work on, and that is I'd like to ask the question, how is our spiritual health? Now, as we look at this nation and we look at ourselves individually, and most of us, I'm sure, at our age has some type of health problem, but we see it's globally as well as just individually and as a nation. And as Christians, we know that we do try to take care of our health and many things that we do, exercise and try to take care of the things as best we can and look for help where we can. But also what is most important is the fact of our spiritual health. How is our spiritual health? And how are we doing and how do we take care of that? Well, starting out in John, the third John, turn there. John is giving some instruction to Gaius there about health, about not only physical health, but about his spiritual health. So in third John, we'll read verses 1-4. So John here is speaking to the elder Gaius, and he says, to the beloved Gaius, or Gaius the beloved, in whom I love the truth. He said, beloved, I personally am praying for you that in all respects you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul is prospering. Then he goes on to talk about some of the children there. It says, for I rejoiced exceedingly at the coming of the brethren who testified of you in the truth, even how you are walking in truth. Then he goes on to say, I have no greater joy. I have great joy. Nothing pleases me more to hear that my children are walking in truth. Now, he's speaking of those that he's helped, maybe that he had some kind of association with in his life to help them spiritually as far as their calling and working with them and teaching to them and preaching with them. So we see he's concerned and hopes he's in physical health, but also concerned about he's walking in truth, which is how that we become spiritually strong. So how do we become, you know, spiritually healthy? We know that in this flesh that we have, that sooner or later that it's going to go back to the earth. That's what Genesis says in Genesis 3, that we came from the dust and we're going back to the dust. But also in Ecclesiastes, and we'll turn there, Ecclesiastes, if you would, that we see again where that we go back to the dust once we die, and the spirit goes back to God. So it's very important then how that we prepare ourselves spiritually and our spiritual health, because the only thing that we're going to be able to take with us when we die is the spiritual health that we have built. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, This is a verse we're all familiar with, I'm sure. Heard it many times, heard it when at times, sadly, when at funerals. But said, then the dust shall return to the earth. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it. So the only thing that we can build to take with us is the spiritual health that we build while we're in this flesh through and by the help of God's Holy Spirit. And as we'll see, in studying God's Word, reading God's Word, letting God's Word rule our lives and controlling our lives by and through the help of God's Holy Spirit. I'd like to go to Proverbs now, and we'll look at several verses there. If you want to put some kind of marker there, we'll be going back and forth to Proverbs here a few times in the Scriptures. Starting out in Proverbs 3 and verse 1, it says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. So we're seeing here then that with all of our heart, or with our heart, that we are to keep God's commandment. The heart is the, what we might say, our our intellect, our well-being, the whole of us. With our whole mind and heart, we're to keep God's law and His commandments. That's His desire. And then in verse 5, just a few verses, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, again, with your whole being, your intellect, your mind, and lean not to our own understanding. So we see then that we are to keep God's commandments, and we're not to lean to our own understanding. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy now, where, again, we see instructions that we are to keep our heart from turning away from God, that we keep God foremost in our mind, that He is our being. Well, He is our being. All of our being is in Him. And it's only through Him we know that we have life, and through His Holy Spirit. In Deuteronomy 13, and I'll read verses 1 through 3, says, if a prophet rises among you, or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign, or he gives you some kind of wonder, he does some kind of miraculous thing, you might say, or as a magician does, and the sign or the wonder which he foretold you comes to pass, saying, well, let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. It says, you shall not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you. So he's trying us to see if we will buy other doctrines, other things that come up. He's testing us so that he can know what? Whether that you love the Lord your God with, again, all of your heart and with all of your soul, that is, with all of our being. So he says, don't let someone else turn our hearts away from God by false miracles or by words, as we will see. I'd like to go to 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Because there are those who would like to lead us away, and it talks about that they have smooth words or flattering words. So in 1 Timothy, now if we can find Hebrews, we can find Timothy, because it's going to be the next book. So in 1 Timothy, 4th chapter, and we'll read verses 1 and 2. It says, now the Spirit tells us explicitly that in the latter times, the days that we've been in the latter times, someone said since the time of Christ, but we know that we are in the latter times. Now, how much time is left, or how much time we have left, we know that we are, looking at all of our gray hair, most of us, we know that we are in the latter times. So we are in the latter times here in the last days. In our lives, and many of us have been around for years and years, talking to some here before services and how many years we've been around, some 40, 50 years or more. And so that's a long time. Thankfully, we're still here walking in God's way and His truth, keeping His laws and His commandments. And that's great. So now the Spirit tells explicitly that in the latter times, some shall apostatize from the faith, that is, fall away, and shall follow deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Also, it says that they will be speaking lies in hypocrisy. In other words, it's not true. They're hypocritical in their what they're teaching and what they're doing or what they're trying to persuade others of. It says their conscience having been seared with a hot iron. So they have no conscience. They are not concerned about what they're saying or what they're doing or what they're trying to lead others to do. And so we've seen that certainly in our time. And we're going to see more, and we're going to see more. It talks about these in Romans. We'll go to Romans chapter 16, Romans 16. And it talks about how they are. They're able, they're good speakers in many cases. They're able to flatter. They're able to deceive. So in Romans, the 16th chapter, and we'll be looking at verses 17 and verse 18. He said, now I exhort you, brethren, to take note of those who are causing division among you. Those who are causing division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and shun them. So we've all learned foundational doctrines, things that we adhere to. We know they are godly. And we see those who are trying to persuade us to discontinue from those things we taught, we proved to ourselves, and still should be reading daily, confirming those things, and to shun those who do those things. Because these are the sort who are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not their intent. But they are feeding their own belly, so to speak, as it says, and are deceiving the hearts. Again, the intellect, the mind, the whole being, the one that God wants. He said, I want your whole heart. And oh, that they had such a heart in us. All of us had such a heart that we would keep his laws and his commandments. So they are trying to deceive. And they're deceiving the hearts of the innocent by smooth talk and flattering words. Now we know in Paul's time, he talked about those of the circumcision. Beware those of the circumcision. But who are those of the circumcision in our day? Now, we're not talking about physical circumcision. I am speaking about spiritual circumcision. Those that we thought they were just sitting there like us. They wanted to follow God. They wanted to keep his laws and commandments. They wanted to keep truth and teach truth. So I'm referring to those as the circumcision spiritually. So we know there are many out there today. And it's a shame, people that I've known for years, people that you've known for years, I'm sure you can look back, who are being deceived by flattery, who are being deceived by personalities and all those different things. So we need to be aware of that. That's why we need to be close to God. And as the Bereans said, they searched the scriptures daily, didn't they? They searched the scriptures daily to see if the things be so. And we should always be doing that as well as ourselves. I'd like to go back then to Proverbs, the third chapter. Now, I did have a marker in mind, but I don't think it did me much good because I think it slid down on me. But here I am. We're in Proverbs. Let's go back to Proverbs, the third chapter, and pick up again on some of the thoughts we had earlier. Proverbs 3 and verse 6. God tells us then we're in all of our ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct our steps, or your steps, as it says, our steps. So if we acknowledge God in what? In all ways of our lives. And know what we have a command, especially as elders or teachers in God's church, it says that we are to have a good report from without and within. We are to conduct our lives in a daily manner. And we know that we're going to slip up. We're going to fall. We're going to fall short. We know that. We're human. But our goal, our aim is to always strive toward that mark, as it talks about perfection, to grow in grace and knowledge and be like the Bereans and study to show ourselves approved. And we find that in 2 Timothy. Going back then to Timothy, looking at the second chapter, that we are to show ourselves approved, to be good workmen. So in 2 Timothy, chapter 2 and verse 15. And we heard this in one of the messages yesterday, and that is the word diligent. It says we are to diligently study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed. So if we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing, we not need to be ashamed when we come before Jesus Christ in prayer. So we're striving to do the things that God has shown us, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And as it says in Isaiah, that, you know, here a little bit and there a little bit, where we have to dissect God's word. We have to kind of break it up. And thankfully, we live in an age where we have all the different Bible helps that we can go in and references and concordance, that we can really study this, God's word. And certainly thankful for the translation that we have here and the work that Fred's done and continuing to do. And all of us to be able to do. And that is, our goal is to help one another and to help the brethren and to help those who will be coming in. And if we are practicing those things, we're striving to be truly Christians, then we can help those who will be coming in. So we're to divide God's word. We are to delve into it and really study it. And be as the Bereans. Just across the page then in chapter 3 and verse 14 says, but as for you, continue. These are the instruction Paul is giving for us as well. As for you, continue in the things that you did learn. So all the things that we've learned all these many years, and we did have a good foundation. Sometimes we look back and we see all the corruption or what went on and certain organizations we were in, but we did learn a foundation, and that's good. So Christ said, well, what are we to do? We're to continue to build on that foundation, just as those, instead of building up on sand or to build up on a rock, to continue to build upon that foundation, to grow in grace and knowledge, and to continue to purify ourselves. So he tells us then in chapter 14 to continue in those things that we did learn and you were assured of, knowing from whom you learned them. And really a lot of these things we learned maybe through a man, but they came through who? Christ. What's this word come from? It comes through Jesus Christ. Just as Christ has said that he was taught of the Father, and now we know through God's Holy Spirit that they actually come, they teach us. But they can only teach us if our heart and mind is toward God and toward His commandments and studying His Word and trying to live by every word of God. In Romans, going back to Romans, we're told what kind of mind we are to have. We are to build the mind of Christ. In Romans, the 8th chapter, Romans 8, and we'll read verse 5, it says, "For those who walk according to the fleshly mind, to the flesh rather, who walk according to the flesh, mind the things of the flesh, but those who walk according to the Spirit, mind of the things of the Spirit." And as I said earlier, we've seen certain situations, especially in the news just recently, where a sports figure, now he has physical health, looks like. He looks like he's in good health. But spiritually, we've seen what's happened. So, as I mentioned earlier, our mind should learn and be building the spiritual things, spiritual health as well as watching our physical health. He goes on to say in verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded, we can have life and we can have peace." I'd like to go back then. Well, let's go on and read verses 12 and 14 I have marked here. "So then, brethren," he tells us, "we are not debtors then to the flesh, that we live, or that we have to live according to the flesh, because if you are living according to the flesh, you shall die." As I read earlier, it tells that in Ecclesiastes and Genesis. "But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, then it says that we're going to live, that we shall live." I'd like to turn then to, if you would, let's go to Psalms 119, in verses 101 and 106, where we get some more instructions. So Psalms 119, and we'll be going into read verses 101 through 106. It says, "I've held back my feet from every evil way, so that I might keep your word." So that was David's heart and his desire. "I have not departed from your ordinances, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And through your precepts I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way." And that's what we should do. God wants us to hate every false way. To hate the things, not the people, but hate the things that there are those who are trying to persuade with flattering words and different means to have a following themselves or to feed their belly or whatever their goal might be. It's some type of ulterior goal that is not based toward God and the help of the people and the brethren. It goes on to say, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and it's a light to my path." It's like having the flashlight where you can see your way after dark so that you don't run into something and stumble and fall. So God's lamp, His word, is a lamp to our feet to guide us and direct us that we can see where we're going and continue on His path. That is the path to eternal life in His kingdom. He has said, "I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous ordinances." So to keep God's Spirit active then, there are things that we must do. And these are not new things. We've heard them years and many, many years. And that is through prayer. Because prayer is our contact with God. It's our opportunity to converse with Him. We're to study His Word because, again, that is God speaking to us. And also meditation. Now, I took a walk early this morning. I could see a few stars, not too many stars, but I enjoy looking at the stars at night, especially being out of a place where you can see a lot of stars. And I know when probably 20 years ago we moved from Cincinnati, about 20-some miles out in more of a country setting. And people were wondering, well, why do you want to go way out in the country? They were thinking, well, that's really country out there, a bunch of hicks. Why do you want to leave the city and go out there? And I told them, I said, well, there is something out there that you don't have here in Cincinnati. And they said, well, what's that? And I said, stars. Because at night you could go out, it's just amazing. And in the city you can't see very many stars, maybe a few like I saw this morning. But sometimes at night you look, there's the whole array of the whole sky. And you can think and you can meditate. God says, I know them all. I created them and I can actually name every one of them. Now I have a hard time with names. Can you imagine God remembering all the stars? So one lady in our congregation or fellowship, she mentioned she likes to go out on the porch at night and to just bundle up and look at the sky and see the stars. So prayer is our contact with God and study through His Word and to meditate. And we are to watch what goes into our minds. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, as I mentioned, we need to watch what goes into our mind. And here we see that the Pharisees are accusing Christ or His disciples of not washing their hands before they eat. And they were all upset about that. But He then tells them what the important thing is. So in Matthew, the 15th chapter and verse 11 first, that which goes into the mouth does not defile the man, He says, but that which comes out of his mouth, that is what defiles us or defiles the man. Then He goes on to explain this parable then to Peter and to the others in verse 15. Then Peter answered and said to him, well, explain this parable to us. We don't know what you're talking about. Could you please explain it? And Jesus said to him, are you also still without understanding? Do you not perceive that everything that enters the mouth, it goes into the belly and is expelled in the sewer or in the drought, as King James says, through the elimination system? But the things that go forth from the mouth come out of the heart, and these defile a man. And then He goes on to show what really defiles us, and that is what comes out of our mind, as going back to build a godly mind through His Holy Spirit. It says, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. The first one, I thought that was interesting. He mentions murder, then adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witnessing, blasphemies. Says, these are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Because they had certain rituals, they thought if you didn't do it, pour some water over your hands or wrist or whatever, then you weren't complying with their laws. And I emphasize their laws. So Christ chastised them for that and explained what really defiles that, what comes out of our mind. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, we're reminded of some things here that we should be doing. And that are whatever things it says are pure or whatever things are honorable. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, Philippians 4 and verse 8, we'll start out. It says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honorable, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever are lovely, things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue in them, and there be any praise, think then on these things. So we're to think on things that we put into our mind, and are they honorable? Are they pure? Are they lovely? Are they of virtue? Virtue, these are the things then we're told to think on them. And then verse 9, whatever things you have learned and received and heard and see in me, you do also, and the God of peace shall be with you. Again, going back to examples, as he said, what you have seen me do, as I strive to follow Christ, then as well, you strive to do those Christly and godly things as well yourself. So in closing here, a couple of things I'd like to leave, and something that I think about, and I've mentioned before, and that is the times and things that we live in, as we see how they are, and we know they're going to get worse. And there's a couple of things that Israel, and we know basically about Israel and where Israel is today, not just the little nation of Israel, but speaking to all the tribes. There's one thing that Israel could never handle, and you can read through the Old Testament, and you'll see it verifies this, that they could not handle prosperity. This nation cannot handle prosperity. Anytime Israel would become prosperous, they would go and follow other gods. And we see that today. Anything goes. Now religion is, they're coming together. So anything goes. Once they have a good, once we get a good, we can't handle that. We turn away from God and instead of not thanking God, we turn away from God back as Israel always has to the sun god Baal and all the others. Another thing that Israel cannot handle, and that's adversity. You can look through the Old Testament and verify that. Oh God, please help me. And we know that time is coming. But to us, those of us who are building the spiritual mind of God and striving to love God on a daily basis, building our spiritual health, we know that when those times come, that we will be preparing, or we will be prepared for adversity, because hopefully we are putting oil in our lamps now. That is preparing. So when the time comes, we will be prepared for the adversity and things coming, and we will be able to handle them by and through the help of God.
For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.